just a few weeks ago, I found myself just reading in the book of Luke, and I came to chapter 5, and just a passage of scripture I found myself read many times before. We'll all be very familiar with it here for the most part this morning. But man, did the Lord start to open up something in this passage of scripture. And I believe only a few weeks ago, I felt something, and I have been feeling something of the heart of God for those who hear the cry of the Lord to come, for whatever that is, who've sat in meetings, who've heard that appeal for salvation, or the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or a healing, and who have come thus far, but left maybe bewildered and discouraged and disheartened and disappointed with something of a conclusion in their heart that maybe it's not for me. That there seems to be some little thing, I'm not aware of anything obvious, but there seems to be some little thing stopping me from possessing that which I've heard that call to come and receive, as it were. Can you identify with that this morning? Can you identify with that? I know I certainly can. And I believe just the Lord has showed me something in this verse of scripture, in this passage of scripture. It's it's in Luke chapter 5, and I'll read there in one moment, from verse 16 to 26. And there's a parallel of that in the Gospel of Mark. And it's that story of Jesus in the house and the four friends with their paralyzed friend who was on his bed, or the couch as it calls it, his mat, his stretcher, whatever way you want to look at it. This man was confined to that, and his four friends knew that Jesus was in the house. The passage here, and these were the words that so struck deep into my heart in verse 17 of Luke chapter 5. And they knew this, that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And they carried their friend on his bed to that house because they wanted their friend to be healed. Very simply, their friend had a problem. They wanted to help their friend. And I would ask a question before ever we read this passage of scripture, before ever we get into this message this morning, I would ask you the question this morning. And your answer to this question will very much determine what you receive from the Lord. Do you believe, number one, when we're gathered together, that the Lord is here in our midst? I believe that that's what this Bible says. Number two, it says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It says there that Jesus was teaching, and we know this Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So often we have found ourselves in that place of saying, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I believe, Lord, but I am painfully and acutely aware of that unbelief that seems to attach itself unto me, that seems to surround me. I want to go on with you, but there seems to be just that holding me back all the time. The second question I would ask is, do you believe that if the Lord be here in our midst this morning, that the power of the Lord is as present here this morning to heal as it was on that occasion? Amen. You don't have to answer me that question this morning, but you must answer that in your own heart. If we're going to go anywhere with the Lord, if we're going to go on with the Lord, we must believe the word of the Lord. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 5 verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And how many know miraculous and wondrous things happened every time Jesus withdrew himself to the wilderness to pray? When he came back from the wilderness, miraculous things happened. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, note that he was teaching, and he was teaching the word of God, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Note that part. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. That means he was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk?
Yeah.
But that ye may know that the power of man, that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins.
Amen.
He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God.
Mm.
And they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. In Mark chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus was in the synagogue. He cast the devil out of the men.
Mm.
Out of a man, a different man to this. Because of that, it says that immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region around Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. When they came out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, that is Simon Peter, the fisherman, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at the evening time, when the sun did set, after a full day's ministry, they brought unto him all that were diseased. This is at evening time, when the sun was setting. And all that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered at the door. He's in Simon Peter's house. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases. And cast out many devils. And suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, after a full day's ministry, and however long that took the previous night, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. That's in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus had gone out and gone around about. In Mark chapter 2, we see that Jesus had returned into Capernaum again, and he was, it says, in the house. In chapter 2, it says, he was again in Capernaum, and he was in the house. So we draw from that, he was back in Simon Peter's house when he was back in Capernaum.
Mm.
And straightway, when he was in the house, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them.
Yeah.
No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And we do know that faith rose in the hearts of people that day.
Amen.
And the people were healed that day.
Amen.
Father in heaven, Lord, as we come to your word this morning, God, I pray, Lord God, that you help me to deliver this message I believe you've given me, Lord. God, I pray you'd speak into lives. God, I pray there be a victory today, oh God. God, Father, Lord, I pray, oh God, there be a possessing today, oh God. Oh God, Father, we surrender ourselves unto you. Lord, we thank you for your word by which we know what pleases you and what displeases you, Lord. We thank you for your word which does cause faith to rise in our hearts, Lord. And God, Father, we ask you, oh God, that you'd come here today, deal with every issue, oh God. You know every life, every problem, you know where every one of us are at, Lord God. And God, Father, I pray, Lord God, there be an arising today, oh God. Lord, a laying a hold upon your promises and a possessing of those things, God, Father, I ask it in Jesus' name today.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
We're dealing with this story of a paralyzed man, an absolutely paralyzed man. I can tell you something about a paralyzed man this morning, if you've ever seen one. You can place a paralyzed man there on the ground, a man that's fully paralyzed, and you can come back tomorrow and he's still there.
Mm.
You can come back in an hour and he's still there. You can take a plate of food and you can place it there beside his head. You'll come back in an hour's time, that food will not be touched. He's a paralyzed man. A paralyzed man is marked by the fact that he cannot move.
Yeah.
And there is a direct parallel between that paralyzed man in this story and a sinner, someone who's not born again. What we are in our natural state outside of Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
we're paralyzed. We're dead men and women. Yes, we live. Yes, we go to our jobs. Yes, we do our activities and our hobbies, and we've got our circles of friends and our social life and all of these things.
Amen.
But we're paralyzed people. Amen. We cannot move. We cannot move for God. We can't do a thing for God. We're just paralyzed people.
Yeah.
A paralyzed man is almost a dead man. He doesn't do anything. You can place him there just the same as a dead man. He won't move. He won't do a thing. That's a paralyzed man. He can will to move. He can want to move. He can even decide to move. He can try to move, but move he does not.
Yeah. Amen.
And we can identify with that. We can identify with that from those days outside of Christ, those days in sin, those days given to the things of this world.
Yeah, yeah.
No moving, nothing ever done for the glory of God. Just dead men and women walking.
Jesus.
This paralyzed man had four friends. We read in Mark, he had four friends there. That scripture I asked you to note earlier, it says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Where Jesus was in that house, the power, it says in the Greek, the dunamis power of the one who is supreme in authority was present to heal them. And I believe as I stand here today, that power is as present here today to heal. It's not because somebody has a tingling down their spine or the hair stands up in the back of their neck. It's because the preaching of the word of God.
Amen.
We're hearing about how
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ healed. This word tells
Hallelujah.
Us he's the same yesterday, today and forever. He's never changed, not one.
Amen.
And if he healed then, he can heal here today.
Amen.
Where two or three are gathered in his name, he is here in the midst. We're assured of that this
Amen.
Morning.
Hallelujah.
These men, you know, I'm in much of this message, I'm going to refer to this paralyzed man as a burden.
Mm.
Because he had four friends that picked him up and they carried him to the house where Jesus was because he could not go there himself. And thus, he was a burden unto these four men.
Yeah.
These four men that picked this paralyzed man up, they felt the weight of this man. And how alike is that to us here as we gather in prayer meeting after prayer meeting, and as we pick up again those loved ones and those friends and those family members who are not there in the presence of the Lord, who are not there, who don't know anything about the power of the Lord that is present to heal. And how often do we carry them again and again and again in prayer to the Lord, just as these four men moved with this burden. They took up this burden and they carried this burden to the place where the power of the Lord was present to heal.
Amen.
They knew the weight of that man.
Yeah.
They knew what it was to carry that man.
Amen. Yeah.
You hear
Amen.
What I'm saying here this morning?
Yeah.
Friends and family members, we know what it is to carry the weight and the burden of them
Amen.
In prayer.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
You remember a few weeks ago, or back a little while ago, Brother Gary Anderson, he spoke of the burden of the prophets. And he said, that he spoke of them Old Testament prophets, the burden of the Lord, the burden that the Lord gave to one of them prophets. And he just noted something about a burden. When one has a burden, we seek to relieve or discharge ourselves of that burden.
Yeah,
whether it be the heavy school bag coming in from school, flinging it off when you get in the door, or whether it's a word, a message from the Lord like them prophets. It was still the same. They sought to discharge themselves of that burden. And so it was, I believe, with these four men that had carried this burden to the place where the power of the Lord was present to heal. They were glad to get there. We're not told how far they came, whether they came from the other side of the city or further afield. We're only told that the fame of the Lord went out all over the land.
Amen.
And that everywhere people were coming. Even at night time, the whole city was gathered at the door of that house.
Yeah,
because people knew that he was there and he was healing people. Can I ask you this morning, how did they know? How did they know? Was it that you got this electric feeling when you moved close to the house where he was? Was it that you got that tingle down your spine, or you just had a moving towards the house? Or some, I'll tell you, it was none of that. I'll tell you, if it wasn't as practical as people leaving there would hurrahs and hallelujah say, "I'm healed." Yeah, if it wasn't the lame men who everyone knew sat on the side of that street, running for joy, screaming, "Jesus has delivered me and set me free." I tell you, that is how you know the power of the Lord was present to heal. And I believe there are people here this morning, this very morning, you've looked into these things of salvation. You've come here. The reason you've come here this morning is because you do perceive, at the very least, that the power of the Lord is present to heal. You've come away, you've heard the people on the street preaching, you've seen lives change, you've seen the Lord deal in a life, you knew what that person was before him, and you know that they are walking 180 degrees to the way they used to go, and you perceive something, that the power of the Lord is present to heal. He said there's something in that. Nothing could have changed him. How many times have we heard it? Nothing could have changed that person. Nothing could have changed that man. He was once the rugby's biggest support. He knew every fact and detail. Nothing could have changed that man. He was a hopeless drug addict. Nothing could have changed. Religious people, good people, horrible people, all changed. And walking in line with God's word.
Amen. Hallelujah.
They perceived that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I tell you, the fame of the Lord went out all over that land. If there was newspapers in, it was all over the newspapers. Everywhere you went, you met people that talked about, "Did you see what Jesus did in the synagogue? Did you see him cast the devil out of that man? We knew he was demon possessed. He's walking free today. He's praising and glorifying God today. He's gone back to his house. He's clothed in his right mind." That lame man, that blind man that was broken bodies, leprosy, all healed, set free, delivered. The leper no longer in the colony, but walking back in the city saying, "Jesus Christ has set me free." I tell you, that is why we ought to be testifying. That's why we ought to be preaching the gospel. Whatever means we can convey this gospel to someone, that people might know that God is not confined to a big stone building with stained glass windows and candles and statues. That God lives in people, and that the power of the Lord is as present in 2015 as it was to heal back then.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
These four friends, they carried that burden to the place where Jesus was. The power of the Lord was present to heal. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Sick people went into that house, and healed people came out. I do believe that house was thronged, the Bible tells us so. I do believe that it was a difficult thing to get into that house.
Yeah,
only the truly determined could get into that house.
Yeah.
But you see, these men who carried their burden to the house, they've got a burden that they want to discharge at the feet of Jesus. They know that's the only hope for their friend who's made paralyzed, maybe his whole life, we don't know. And you see these men arrive at that house where they perceived the power of the Lord was present. They arrive at this house, it was troubled. The whole city was there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're faced with a little bit of a problem, because their burden, they've just borne their burden between four people. It seems a little bit more awkward than everyone else's burden.
Yeah.
Everyone else arrived there. Maybe someone had a withered hand. Maybe somebody had an issue of blood. If their friend could have at least been like the woman with issue of blood, he could have got down on the ground and crawled in under people's feet and got to Jesus.
Yeah.
But he could not. You see, it took four of them to carry this burden. Yeah. Together, cumulatively, they were an awkward size and an awkward shape. Can you see, as these men arrived at that house, they became aware it's going to be that little bit more difficult for us to get our burden to the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I say this morning to parallel, and I know every one of us have been here at some stage, be it for salvation, be it for healing, deliverance, be it for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I have been there, and I know we've been there. I talk to you people, I know we've been there. Been in that place where I'm stood outside the house. I know Jesus is in there. I can actually hear Jesus in the house. Maybe you're here this morning and this is you. You can actually hear, as it were, the voice of the Lord. But your burden just seems that little bit bigger than everyone else's. That little bit more awkward. You see, it says in the scripture there, it said, they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they could have got him in if the multitude wasn't there. How many have come to that place and said, the Lord wouldn't have time for me? There's too many people. The Lord wouldn't be bothered with me.
We can't
bring him in because of the multitude. Mm. I cannot lay my burden before the Lord because I know he's just there. He's actually, if the walls of the house weren't there, I might be able to get to him.
Mm.
But he's in there. And you're in that place where you know the Lord can heal.
Yeah.
But you just can't quite get that extra little bit because of the size and the shape of your burden.
Yeah, amen.
And can I tell you, there's a devil, that accuser, that thief, and he will magnify your problem. There's something special about you.
Mm.
There's something in particular about you. You're not like everyone else. Your sin is a little bit darker than everyone else.
Yeah,
you hear them in the meetings. They testify of how the Lord delivered from darkness, but if they only knew about you.
Mm.
And we heard that twice.
Jesus,
I've heard
amen.
That twice.
Yeah,
that enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. That enemy, if that enemy can keep someone out of that house, he will.
Yeah.
If that enemy can keep someone from coming and laying their burden down before Jesus Christ, he absolutely will.
Mm.
You notice these men, how difficult it seemed, though. It is at this point where these men were standing outside the house. Maybe they'd momentarily laid their burden on the ground outside the house. And the possibility in this place, and I suggest to you here this morning, that many have come like these men to this place. And it is right here at this point, discouragement has set in.
Mm.
And dismay.
Yeah.
For it seems Jesus is so near.
Yeah.
I have heard people in this church actually speaking to people say, well, maybe salvation is not quite as easy as the Bible says.
Mm.
You know, you're speaking to someone, you're just resigned to it, you just believe.
Yeah.
Simply believe. Can't explain it any other way than that. You just simply believe.
Amen, yeah.
Or maybe salvation is just a little bit more difficult than the Bible says. It's not. You just simply believe.
Mm.
It's still the simplicity of the gospel we preach. Christ died for your sin. He died in my place.
Mm.
It's at this point the possibility for discouragement really sets in because you're almost in that place of being able to lay your burden before the Lord. But there's something hinders.
Mm.
There's many here today have heard testimonies of salvation. There's many here today, in this room today, that have seen lives changed, that have heard testimonies of being baptized in the Holy Ghost, healing, deliverance.
Mm.
And these testimonies at times have stood there almost to mock you. Because you're standing outside of the house, you know, you could just go to Jesus.
Mm.
But those walls prohibit. Some have suggested it's not really as easy as the Bible says. Some have judged the word of God by their experience and said, well, I came to the place where the power of the Lord was present. I've been coming to church, Lord. I heard Jesus' voice. I saw the changed lives. I've heard testimonies, Lord. I went up forwards after meeting, Lord. I've been prayed for, Lord. I've had hands laid upon me, Lord. There's people are telling me all the time that they're praying for me, Lord, but nothing seems to be happening. I heard Jesus' voice. I saw the changed lives. Can you imagine these men as they stood outside that house with their burden and they see the happy, smiling, shouting, rejoicing people coming out of that house. People are cramming in, pressing into Jesus and people are coming out to hear the shouts and the whoops of hallelujah from inside the house. Crutches heaped up at the door, never again needed again.
Mm.
He seemed so close.
Yeah.
I just couldn't really bring my burden in all the way to Jesus, though he seems so close, because my burden seems to me just that little bit bigger and more complex than everyone else's burden.
Amen, amen, amen. Jesus.
You know, that burden they carried, he was their friend.
Yeah.
And very quickly, these things can become our little friend that we're just get used to carrying around. You know, if these four men were going down to the seaside one day, let's bring him. They had to carry him everywhere they went.
Yeah.
Let's go down to the shop. Let's bring him. Don't leave him left out. And very often these things can become like our little friends that we get very, very used to carrying around with us.
Amen.
Do you know, those men could have, and you will be able to identify with this, those men outside that house, they could have just said, well, we'll just wait here. Jesus has to come out sometime.
Mm.
Maybe it's not the Lord's timing now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not right just now. Maybe we ought to just wait for Jesus to come out to us. Lord, I've sought you. I've prayed for salvation. I've prayed for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I've prayed for healing. Nothing has happened. Therefore, I conclude it's not for now. Lord, in your own time, in the timing of the Lord. Many have said that. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, because I came, I sought the Lord, and I left empty-handed, it mustn't be for now. Maybe another time, maybe a later date. The possibilities for those men to have done that, you know, that man had never been healed. That man had never been delivered. Yeah. They sat down, if they were willing to just sit down outside the house, leave their burden, say, well, we'll just wait till Jesus passes by. He passed by people before, he'll pass by people again. We'll just wait for him to pass by. No, I'll tell you something about these men. They set out from their homes that morning, and they were determined to bring this man to the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
They were absolutely determined to bring this man to the feet of Jesus. They had already resolved they were not going to bring him home again. There were four friends that said, we're bringing this man to the feet of Jesus. If it kills us by hook or by crook, we are laying this burden down at the feet of Jesus. To bring him home again is not an option.
Yeah.
And can I tell you, that is true faith. That is heavenly faith. That is the faith that arrests a heart that says, Lord, I am here to press in. I'm making your promises mine. If circumstances dictate otherwise, if my experience dictates otherwise, I'll throw my experience out the window. If I never feel God, I'm going to stand upon the word of God. And that is faith. These men said, we're bringing our burden to Jesus. Faith does make a way. Can I ask you this morning, how many have ever looked at a mountain? And every mountain, I don't know if there's mountains in Sri Lanka, but every mountain, be it in Sri Lanka or in Ireland, all the same.
Yeah.
You know, you start off climbing up that mountain, it's a very gradual slope. The closer you near the summit of that mountain, the steeper it becomes.
Yeah, amen.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Nearly every mountain I've ever seen, the steeper that thing becomes, the closer you reach the top. And how similar was that for our four friends carrying their burden here?
Amen.
For they arrived to the place, we're tired, Lord. We've carried him here from, we don't know how far away. We've been maybe travelling all day to get here, carrying our burden. And now we're faced with this, there's an obstacle. And how many knows that there's always an obstacle where there is true faith?
Yeah, amen.
How many knows that the enemy does come with fiery darts?
Yeah.
How many knows that every time you set out in your heart, say, Lord, I'm going to lay a hold on you. I want to touch you for something. I want to touch you for whatever this burden is. That the enemy is not just going to come along and just allow someone to come in and win a victory.
Yeah.
There's an obstacle. There's an obstacle. Next thing, one of these men spots the steps on the side of the house. Lads.
Yeah.
Let's go up. We can't bring him in. Let's go up. There's steps up to the roof of the house.
Amen.
Now you'll remember here, we're in Simon Peter's house. You remember Peter. You remember impulsive Peter. You remember Peter who cut someone's ear off in the Garden of Gethsemane just out of whim. This was impulsive, fiery Peter. Shoot first, ask questions later.
Mm.
Put the car into gear without thinking of where we're going. Mm-hmm. This is Peter, the fisherman Peter.
Yeah.
And we're at his house. There was four men that began to carry their burden just that little bit steeper.
Jesus.
They overcame the hindrances. They decided they were not going to let their burden just down outside and wait for Jesus. They began to climb.
Mm.
You know, they set out that morning and they were not going to bring their friend home. They said, he's walking home today.
Yeah, amen.
He is walking home today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They did not fall at the first hurdle. They came and they saw the multitudes, couldn't find a way to bring him in. You know, that house was packed. I was reminded in preparing for this message of a song sung by Ian White. I remembered this from a child, maybe it was a children's song, and I've got the lyrics of it there. I'm not going to attempt to sing it for you here this morning. But he wrote a small song, very short little verses about this whole story. And what he said about this house, and I have taken his title, The Busy Little House, and I've used it for today's message. He said everyone was there, you couldn't find a chair, in fact you had to fight for air in the busy little house.
Yeah,
that's how packed we're talking.
Yeah.
They were not downcast, discouraged, or dejected. The closer you try to get to Jesus, the steeper the way you have seen. And so it was for these men.
Yeah.
They took up that burden again, but our arms are tired, but we're tired.
Yeah.
But the sweat is coming off of us. We've borne this burden all day. But lads, we're going to bring them upstairs. How many has ever moved a wardrobe?
Yeah.
No problem. Till you come to the stairs. You want to get up the stairs. A little bit difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
It was no easier to bring that man upstairs than it was to bring... In fact, it was more difficult to bring that man up them steps. But they said, we're bringing this man to Jesus and we are making a way. You see, faith will make a way.
Amen.
Faith will not just say, oh, there's an obstacle, there's a wall.
Yeah.
Come back another day, we'll just wait here or something. Faith makes a way.
Amen.
They began to climb onto the roof. Up they went one step at a time. Faith keeps going and faith makes a way. How many knows you need a greater resolve or a greater determination to carry any burden upwards, to carry it uphill? Luke says they went upon the housetop and they let him down through the tiling. This paralyzed man on his bed with four faithful friends that had said, we're going to carry this burden to the feet of Jesus. They went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling. How would you like that, Pat? How would you like five men clambering around your roof, ripping the tiles off? I can only imagine how Peter must have felt. Nothing was going to stop these men getting to Jesus. Saints of God, we need to learn to pray like these men acted. These men kept going. You remember that man I shared with you just last week, that Roy Benavidez, that soldier that kept going. 37 different wounds, grenade wounds, fragments, shot up, beaten, bloodied, but kept going. Saints of God, nothing was going to stop these men getting to Jesus. So they're packed in that busy little house. And right above them on the roof, and for those who don't know, in those days we're talking steps on the outside up to a flat roof. Luke tells us very politely they let him down through the tiling. Mark was a little bit more graphic. He says they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up. Do you see what faith does when bringing a burden to Jesus? Faith is willing to shower the people below with dust and dirt. But what about the mess we're making of Simon Peter's house? The broken tiling, who's going to repair this? Simon Peter didn't have a job anymore. He left all to follow the Lord. There's men on the roof ripping the roof off. The other man's house, Peter's house, they were destroying. The people they were showering with dust. These inconsiderate men did not even care that their actions would have an effect on those below and around them. And that is faith.
Amen.
That is faith. Lord, I don't care what my family thinks. I'm coming to Jesus. Amen. I don't care about the friends that are going to mock me. I'm coming to Jesus. I'm showering them with I'm a man on a mission looking to lay a hold of them, a burden at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And nothing is going to stop me.
Amen.
Can you meet those people in that house shouting, will you stop?
Yeah.
You're covering us with dirt. Faith says to those around, I don't care what hindrance stands in my way. I don't care what you think, but I am bringing my burden to Jesus. These men said in themselves, by hook or by crook, we're bringing this man to Jesus. We'll lay our burden before the Lord and nothing will stop us. Saints of God, that is the kind of attitude that grabs God's attention.
Amen.
Harold Horton was a man, a preacher, and became heavily burdened for those who had come to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit again and again and again. It was by reading this man's book that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. A short little booklet transformed my absolute life. And this very thing I'm talking to you today about was what he talked about in that book. I want to share with you something he said about faith. He said, true courtesy in the kingdom of God is not standing, as it were, cap in hand, apologizing for your unworthiness, apologizing for your lack of faith or your lack of understanding. He said, true courtesy is leaping in and seizing the blessing God offers you.
Hallelujah.
That is blessed politeness.
Amen.
That is true courtesy. That is heavenly etiquette. That is not presumption. It is blessed faith. And God loves that.
Amen.
That is what he said. Here's a man that saw people baptized in the Holy Spirit, people that had left that altar discouraged, people that had sought the Lord, asked the Lord, Lord, deliver me, Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit, Lord, save me, and had left there again and again and again, discouraged. Saints of God, I am preaching today for our encouragement, for our edification.
Amen.
I tell you, there's something in this. There's something in these four men has struck deep within me. There's something I want to learn from these four men. I want to act as they acted. When we pray, when we come to pray, be it for salvation, for family members, be it for whatever, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, deliverance, healing, we need to break up the roof.
Yeah.
We need to forget about ourselves. We need to remember this burden that is upon our heart. We need to forget about the apparent discomfort that goes around us and lay a hold upon the Lord.
Amen.
True faith elbows unbelief out of its way and makes no apologies for it.
Yeah.
Those who say it can't be done need to get out of the way of those who are doing it.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah.
These men brought their burden with the intention of discharging it at the feet of Jesus. Bringing it home again was not an option.
Amen.
Many of you have come near so many times knowing that the Lord's power was present to heal, but you have been content to bring your burden home again.
Amen.
Can I tell you
Jesus.
My own personal experience of seeking the Lord for the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Keith will tell you, I annoyed his head. I asked him, how? I tell you, I had more hands laid upon my head. I had more people pray over me, visiting preachers, visiting pastors. I sought the Lord, I fasted, I prayed, I tarried. I tried hard. Can I tell you, the moment I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, one thing gripped me was the consciousness of, until that point, my unbelief. I was in that place. I said those same things we've said. But I do believe the Lord. But I do believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
I do. I want it. I want. But I was so focused on everything else except the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm so focused on the reasons why I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. Why I wasn't baptized. And I mean, many people are like that with salvation. Why haven't I saved? Why aren't you saved? Because it is that easy.
Yeah,
you tell me, why aren't you saved? Well, I did ask the Lord, but it didn't work. That's not faith.
Yeah.
Faith makes a way.
Yeah.
Faith lays a hold upon Jesus.
Yeah.
Faith lays that burden down.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, these men, after they'd ripped that hole in Peter's roof, they lowered their burden down. This paralyzed man that was on the mat, or on the bed, on the stretcher, whatever it was, they lowered that burden down. Now their burden was truly laid down. It was out of their reach. It was absolutely out of their reach.
Amen.
There was no longer anything they could do for that man. There was no longer anywhere they could bring that man. They had discharged themselves of that burden.
Mm-hmm.
Saints of God, when we lay our burdens at the feet of Jesus, can I tell you, all of a sudden, we don't have to bear them anymore.
Amen.
There's a rest.
Hallelujah.
There was a rest for them. They said, we carried him up here on this roof. We won't be carrying him back down.
Yeah.
We've lowered that man down to the feet of Jesus. There was no more they could do for their friend. We need to lay our burdens at the feet of Jesus and leave them there. That's what faith does. You know, so many people call it faith. They keep the stretcher on the strings. And they lower it down and they pull it back up again. Maybe there's something more we could do for our friend. They lower it back down again. Okay, Lord, I'll lay it down. Faith lowers that burden to the feet of Jesus and walks away.
Amen.
And what rest there is when we do that.
Oh, hallelujah.
My shackles are gone. My spirit is free.
Jesus.
The Lord delivers us of our burdens.
Father.
I want us to notice next what happened. For now this man is at the feet of Jesus. Luke 5 verse 20 says, Jesus saw their faith and said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Wait a minute. Back up, Lord. We didn't bring him here for sins. We brought him here because he was paralyzed.
Yeah.
We brought our friend here today because he's confined to his little stretcher and he can't do a thing for himself. But how is it the first thing Jesus says, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee? The problem, as far as they were concerned, was paralysis. It was outward.
Yeah.
Not sin.
Mm.
They didn't bring him there because their friend was a sinner. They brought him to Jesus because he was paralyzed. The poor creator can't move for himself. He can't feed himself. He can't take himself to the toilet. We have to do it all for him.
Mm.
He can't do a thing. This man arrived, and note this, because I have found many, many, many people in seeking for true salvation, I found this to be the case. This man arrived at Jesus' feet, a victim. But at Jesus' feet, he became the villain. He became the guilty one. The first thing Jesus said to that man was, thy sin, your sin. That's the first thing. I see your paralysis.
Yeah.
I see your need. I see that you've got four faithful friends that brought you to me. The Lord would say, I've heard the prayer. I've heard the cries. But your sin.
Yeah.
That sin is the issue.
Amen.
Do you know a man or a woman can be healed of whatever disease, sickness, plague, and still go to hell for all of eternity?
Amen.
It's the Lord's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This man arrived at Jesus' feet a victim of his circumstances, of his sickness, of his disease, his medical condition. A victim. But Jesus said, before your sickness, before your disease, before your medical condition, before your feelings, your emotions, before anything else that's going on with you, we're going to deal with that one most important thing. We're going to deal with your sin. Back at the beginning of this portion of scripture, it says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I tell you, there was people getting saved in that house that day. There was people getting born again in that house that day. There was people, that is a true healing. How many knows that they've been truly healed, spiritually speaking? We might never have been paralyzed in one of our legs, or paralyzed, or had a withered hand, or were lame. But how many knows they've been healed? I've been healed here today. My soul, I've been healed. Jesus says, before we deal with any of those sicknesses, let's deal with death, blasphemous, lying, cheating, stealing, adulterous, covetous, God-hating heart.
Amen.
See, Jesus knows how to prioritize correctly.
Yeah.
He says, let's deal with the sin first. Saints of God, people who are unsaved here today, can I tell you, we can get very used to carrying these burdens around with us. I tell you, the Lord is not a Lord. He's not a God. That we all know that story of the man that wanted to make the donkey drive on, so he got a big long stick and hung a carrot off the string on the end of it and just kept it out in front of the donkey, and it just out of reach of the donkey. So I kept the donkey moving forward, trying to grab at the carrot. That's not our God.
Amen.
Our God doesn't do that.
Yes.
It says, our Heavenly Father gives good gifts to his children. I am here to exhort you and encourage you today concerning the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's not some great, big, impossible thing. I tell you, and this is why I asked you this question at the beginning of this message. You have to decide in your heart. Is the power of the Lord as present in this room today as it was in Peter's house all of them years ago?
Amen.
If it is, there is nothing that stops anyone walking out of here, and hear me now. There is nothing that stops anyone walking out of here today without the assurance of salvation, not being filled with the Holy Spirit, not being healed. I believe if I told you any differently than that, I'd be lying here today. Jesus Christ, this Bible says, is the same yesterday and today and forever. Can I ask, why walk out of here unsaved today? Why? If the Lord wills it to be so, and he does, why walk away from here unsaved today? Why walk away from here unfilled? It's Jesus. You know, it's very easy for many of us, and again I've been here, to think, well, someday, I know I'll get baptized in the Holy Spirit someday.
Yeah.
One day. Can I ask, why can we not elevate faith? Why are we so confident in something to happen 6 months down the line?
Yeah, amen, amen, amen.
It's because what we're looking at is that carrot dangling off the string in front of us. Can nearly get it. It's okay, we'll just keep moving, might get a bit closer sometime. Saints of God, why not elevate faith? What's the difference going to be between your faith in 6 months' time, believing Lord for things, and now?
Amen.
I'll tell you, make a way. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Make a way. Make a way to bring your burden before Jesus. What if, while waiting outside the house for Jesus to come out of the house, just said, oh, well, in God's timing, oh, well, we'll get saved at a later time. What if you die before then?
Mm. Amen.
What if?
Yeah.
I'm telling you here today, it is the will of the will of the Lord that you're saved. Mm-hmm. You're sitting here today, I can tell you that assuredly. Mm-hmm. It's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is the will of God that you be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about foolishness. Mm-hmm. We're talking about for effectiveness in service in God's hands. That same man Peter that could cut the ear off a soldier in the Garden of Gethsemane arose the chief speaker on that day of Pentecost because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know what it is to come and to pray and say, Lord, I'm getting on my knees and I'm not leaving till you fill me. I know what it is. And I know, like that man Harold Horton wrote, I know what it is to feel the discouragement of just bringing my burden home with me again. Lord, I have a burden. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I know it's for me. Lord, I want it today. Lord, I want it today. Saints of God, we've got to be willing to climb those steps, break a hole open the roof, do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. I tell you, that one thing, that consciousness that would come, is just the unbelief that had been there, covered over by all of these saying, we will believe in the Lord
Jesus.
Saints of God, let's lay a hold upon the Lord. Let's take time now to come and lay a hold upon the Lord.
Jesus.